music radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Is on.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone and all. Rick Adams here, Radio Avenger, Paul Revere of Talk Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And today is the 2nd of February, 2019. Well, here we are. We survived the last month, and now we've made it into the second month of the year. And it's a pleasure once again to be with you. A special program, as usual, lined up today. And, of course, before I do anything, I want to get to the scriptures to set the tone of the first segment of our program today. You know, talk about life and the whole world system of the corrupt media around us, of course, would always use that frame of reference, that life is so precious. All lives matter, black lives matter, green lives matter, all lives matter so much that we must do everything we can to ensure the quality of life, including, preparing young children in grammar school to learn about death, and learn about death ceremony, and learn about all the alternatives to living and God's way of living. It's amazing how we've become so totally and completely the opposite of God's word, my friends. And, you know, in Psalm 139, David thanks the Father, the Heavenly Father, for creating him in his mother's womb. And he says in verse 13, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And he praises the Father, the Heavenly Father, because I am fearfully and woefully made as your works are wonderful. And that is one of the precious psalms of the scriptures, the proof that, yes, indeed, life begins with conception in the womb. God created it that way in this earth and heaven age. Of course, in other verses throughout the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's some doing. And only God can make that boast. Only God can create life out of nothing. So we thank God for that, and it once again affirms the fact that what we have today in America is a new death culture. This death in the womb all the way to the tomb. And it is a sadistic and brutal type of satanic ritual that have taken its toll on America. And one of the reasons why suicide, of course, is so resplendent today is due to that whole anti-life, anti-Christ philosophy that has enveloped America. I have a guest in the first hour with me, and he is, for a little bit of time anyway. His name is Father Frank Pavone, I believe, and he is with Priests for Life, and specifically put out a press release recently concerning this measure that has been introduced in the United States Congress, it has, I believe, as a sponsor, Senator Ben Sasse, who has initiated this bill from Nebraska in the United States Senate. And what he is asking, of course, is that we take a whole new view at life since we have grown accustomed to abortion on demand in America. And that would be a bill that would ensure that the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act take place. So I want to know a little bit more about this act, and we have with us on the telephone line right now Father Frank Pavone. Hello, Father Pavone.
Hello, Rick. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure. I've never had a chance to interview you before, but we've definitely seen your press releases for some time. Tell me a little bit about the Priests for Life, first of all, and where you're coming from as far as the priesthood. I'd like to know.
Yes, well, thank you. I became a priest 30 years ago, and right from the beginning of my desire to go into ministry, I also had a desire to go into the pro-life movement. I got involved in the effort to end abortion back in high school, and so my calling to ministry and my calling to defend the unborn grew together. And then after a few years of ministering to a congregation in New York City, I felt the call to devote myself full time to ending abortion. And I got the permission to do that and have been doing it ever since. For the last 26 years, dealing with abortion has been my full time work. And Priests for Life, as the title indicates, helps clergy, it helps priests to deal with abortion. But it goes way beyond that. We are not just about clergy, we're not just about Catholics. We want to help anybody and everybody who wants to protect these children in the womb and stop the violence of abortion to find and to carry out their particular role in doing so. And that's where we have our work cut out for us. We travel and we speak. We have a big team of people that do so, and broadcasting and writing and lobbying and all the gamut of activities that go along with trying to end abortion.
Well, that's a very lofty goal, and your background is quite lofty as well. You know, I begin this program by just, referring back to the pre-1970s America and how things started to change so dramatically with the Supreme Court's interventionism in state and local affairs with regard to prayer and Bible reading in the classroom. And it was just a few short years later, a decade later, that we saw the effects of that take place. And then we saw the Blackmun decision of the Supreme Court, that opinion concerning abortion. And that opened up a whole floodgate of the beginning of what I've referred to as infanticide in this country as we had never seen before. Now, we've come a long way, baby, as they say, from this business of, well, you know, it's only a glob of cells, and it's only the first trimester, and it's not a full-grown baby, to now where we hear politicians, legislators, and legislatures considering actually legalizing the killing of a child right to and including birth. That is some avalanche, isn't it?
It sure is, and you know, as you rightly point out, and it reminds me of my good friend David Barton of Wall Builders, who points this out too, how these court decisions, taking God out of school, taking the Bible out of school. Well, if you take out of school the commandment that says, I alone am the Lord your God, well, then eventually people are going to think that they're God. If you take away the commandment that says, do not kill, eventually they're going to think that they can kill. So the one thing leads to the other, and it's no surprise that it unleashed abortion. And none of these decisions, of course, were ever voted on by the American people. It's not that there was a groundswell of, oh, let's get rid of the Bible, prayer, and the commandments, and let's kill babies. It has not come from the American people. It's been imposed on us from an elite group of people who have such a darkened conscience. But it's true to say that as people lose sight of the Creator, they're going to lose sight of the creation. People Amen. Forget God, and they're no longer going to understand humanity. And that's why we have this child killing, and it never stands still. It's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. And we see a lot of signs of it getting better, actually. We see a lot of progress in the pro-life movement. But we see the other side, which is dark and does not see the value of life. they don't know how to stop. They just make it worse and worse and worse. And they're making explicit now in various states what is actually already there in Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade permitted abortion throughout pregnancy. It gave, you know, gave the state some leeway to put certain restrictions on. But now what these states are trying to do is to make what is implicit explicit, and to try to sanitize it, to try to destigmatize it, to try to even celebrate it. And this is very, very perverse.
Well, and the consequences, you know, are across societal lines. I remember groups of Sarah Weddington and the NOW organization boasting that this was just a private matter, that it would only affect a woman and her doctor, and nobody should intrude on that domain, and it will never impact on society. And here we are, all of these decades later, with the death of, I don't know, is it 50, 55 million in the womb, now we have this society which is reaping violence unto itself. We're seeing shootings, we're seeing killings, we're seeing teachers who are quitting their jobs or taking sick leave because they are frightened to death of going into the classroom, kids who are frightened to death of going into the classroom, violence everywhere, you know, the city's on fire and so forth and so on, and God says you're going to reap what you have sown. Now, if you have violence in the womb, you're certainly going to have violence outside the womb. We've seen child abuse, you know, all of these things multiply.
That's so true. And, you know, Scripture says bloodshed follows bloodshed. And I always say, you know, children will not stop killing children until parents stop killing children. And, you know, when Mother Teresa of Calcutta came to the United States, she gave that prayer breakfast speech in 1994 in front of President and Mrs. Clinton and Vice President Gore and his wife. They were the only four people who didn't applaud when she said abortion is, in fact, murder of the child, war against the child. But then she asked this question, which is pertinent to what you just said. She said, if we allow that a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? And this is where the lie of the other side, that this is a personal private choice, gets exposed. There's no such thing as a private choice to kill another person. It always has ramifications. In Priests for Life, we have a program called Abortion Shockwaves. It's a ministry, actually, within our ministry to help moms, dads, and other family members, siblings and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. When the family has lost the child to abortion, it impacts the whole family. And there's all kinds of psychological and spiritual repercussions. And then, of course, those go beyond the family, as you're pointing out, to the whole society. It just poisons and weakens the fabric of our entire society. Because what's happening is you're no longer saying that society is the safe place where everyone can be treated as equal and where the weak can be protected from the strong. It's no longer that if you're killing the weakest among us, the children in the womb.
Absolutely, and this was not a very quick process. As I've often pointed out on my program, the Supreme Court only arrogated to itself powers really it did not have under the Constitution. But nevertheless, they were opening up the floodgates, which were building up, you know, with that, you know, that the 1960s violent revolution, the so-called peace, revolution of the 60s, anti-war movement, whatever you want, bring it all together, the, you know, the Woodstock generation, then translating itself into pornography, especially in the 1970s, and the weakening of the family unit, the undermining of God's creation. One of the 10 points of Marxism, as you know, is summed up, of course, all of them are summed up in abolition of the family unit and of private property. And even the most radical will bristle at that suggestion. But, you know, you don't wave a magic wand and abolish the family or undermine it. It happens over a period of time. And that Supreme Court decision in 1973, Roe v. Wade, certainly was a very important cornerstone in producing this this onslaught, if you will, down that slippery road to abortion as a casual thing, as something that we should consider, every woman should consider it, her body, her choice, her decision and nobody else's. But now look at the toll on society and the cost of the taxpayers and what's happening with cervical cancer and a number of other offshoots of this business of it's my body and nobody else's decision. We're now seeing a massive repercussion, as you pointed out.
Well, there are entire books that are just bibliographies of the studies that have been done on the damage abortion causes psychologically, physically, in relationships, and so forth. And, you know, to those who say, well, this is women's health, and, you know, those who are introducing these new bills are calling it Reproductive Health Act and other similar language, you know, our challenge to them is, well, if you think you're advancing the health of women, doesn't that mean you should take a good look at what abortion does to the health of women? And yet they don't even want to look at the evidence, but the evidence is growing every day. Volumes and volumes, there are entire associations of researchers on the effects of abortion. One can find the studies easily online. And yet these people don't even want to say a bad word about abortion. In fact, my contention is that the supporters of abortion and those who are advancing these new bills, the last thing they want to talk about actually is abortion. They're just pretending to talk about it because they get up and while talking about abortion or saying that they are, they use words like reproductive health and freedom and the Constitution and whatnot. And I say to them, listen, if what you're pushing is abortion, why don't you talk about abortion? And yet we never hear a single one of them describe the procedure. All you have to do is take the medical text and read a few lines about how these procedures are done. And the reason they don't do it is because it's so abhorrent, we can hardly stand to hear it. But in listening, then you'll hear words like dismember and decapitate. But they know as soon as the public hears those words, it's like, well, they're not going to buy into this. They're going to think these people are crazy. So they, I think abortion is the only thing that, you know, you sell precisely by disguising it rather than describing it.
That's a very good point, and you're right. They're very evasive. This is something that parallels the gay rights movement in my state where we were dealing with that issue. It started off innocuously enough as, well, we don't want somebody to lose their job just simply because they happen to be gay, you know, and that's all we want is to prevent somebody from being discriminated against. And gee, that sounded so nice and sweet. And then they said, we don't ever seek to have marriage equality. We wouldn't even think of anything like that. And then 30, 40 years later, guess what they were applauding and seeking and they were accepting is marriage equality, then adoption, so on and so forth. So you're right, there's a big disingenuousness to begin with this whole movement. And it ties into the humanist society, the secular society, the whole concept of, you know, the Me Too movement now and equality, and you wrap it up in nice-sounding phrases, but it still arose by any other name, and in this case, you know, Father Pavone, it's a thorn. Now, let me ask you about the bill that is about to be introduced, has been introduced, known as the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act. Tell us about that act.
This is meant to protect babies who survive an attempted abortion. And people might find this really incredible, but the reason the law is necessary is that it actually happens that in some abortion procedures, particularly when they're later in pregnancy, and depending on the method that's used, some abortions result in a live birth. The abortion, in other words, did not successfully kill the baby. So then the abortionist who's been paid to kill this baby faces a dilemma. Do I continue to do what I was being paid to do, and that is to end this life? Or now that the baby is no longer inside the mother's womb but is outside the mother's body, do I do what any sane, civilized, decent person would do, and that is try to save the baby? And so one would think that this is already a settled matter under the law, but unfortunately it's not.
All right, we have a break coming up. We'll welcome you right back after the break, folks. We're speaking with Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and we shall return in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
All right. We're back with Father Pavone and talking about a specific piece of legislation that you've just heard him describe. In addition to that one national piece of legislation, as you alluded and I alluded to earlier, Father, the problem today in legislatures now, driven by, I guess you'd say, the various special interest groups that I have referred to, as you mentioned, the elites and those who are behind them. A lot of organizational effort here, a lot of money being poured into these campaigns, is to try to bring about through the so-called progressive movement within the legislatures, and mine in particular here. I live in New England, in Rhode Island. We have the so-called progressive candidates taking over a lot of seats now that heretofore they had not been in. And they're trying to move out the old regime, the Speaker of the House, who is a Democrat, but a very more traditional conservative type of Democrat. And what they're trying to do now is introduce and have introduced pro-choice, so-called pro-choice legislation, also endorsed by Governor Gina Raimondo, to codify the so-called right of abortion. And actually, as the bishop in Rhode Island described, Bishop Tobin, would actually expand this business of abortion. So, in Florida and states where you have been or are, across America now, we're seeing this big movement that is spreading. And there is many pieces of legislation along those lines. What do you see now with regard to this movement and how it will progress or in some way be retarded, slowed down, or effectively countermanded?
I think what's happening here is that the supporters of abortion are scared because they see actually that the nation is moving in the opposite direction. What I mean is, you know, most people, you look at all the opinion polls of the American public on abortion, and people do not support abortion after the first trimester of pregnancy. Once you get into the fifth, sixth, seventh month, they're saying, what are you talking about? If someone is going to choose, let them choose early. Now, this, of course, would be a pro-choice person speaking. We're saying all abortion is wrong. Every baby should be protected. But the trend in the opinion polls is that the later you go in pregnancy, the fewer people accept the idea of legal abortion. And this opinion dynamic is getting translated now into legislation. A number of states, a good number of states, have enacted a law that protects babies in the womb from 20 weeks forward. And a number of other states have introduced bills that, and in fact, this was also a pro-life bill that got consideration started about it in Rhode Island, introducing a bill that would protect children from abortion procedures involving dismemberment. So the other side, it seems to me, sees this happening, and they also see the Supreme Court shifting, and thanks to President Trump's pro-life nominees, it's shifting in a pro-life direction. And so they're saying, gee, there's no easy way out of this. And I think they're saying, well, the best defense is a good offense. Let's just go forward and just be explicit about pushing abortion to the limit, that it should be until the day of birth, because after all, this is health, this is choice, this is reproductive freedom. And I think they're trying to destigmatize it and sanitize it, because it's for them, it's really the only way out. But I don't believe that it's going to work, because the American people have never bought into this idea of abortion throughout pregnancy. But the other side, I don't think they have anywhere else to turn except to try to legitimize it.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, there's a point of irony here, typically disingenuous, and that is in this whole movement, these groups have actually said that the courts are here to protect certain rights, and those rights include the right to kill a child. And, of course, they prevailed in the courts. Congress would not reverse the Supreme Court decision, 1973, or the prayer decisions, even though it has full authority to do so in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, coming up the appellate ladder. And so what happened is we've seen them say that the courts should protect life, and they should be the ultimate arbiter of what the American public should live under. Now they're saying that the courts are not the way to go, that we must protect we must protect societal rights from the courts, you know, so they're typically disingenuous in that they want to use the courts to interdict and interfere with the prerogative of legislatures. And now that the legislatures are assuming their responsibility in many cases, or trying to, they're saying, no, you can't do that. Now, we've got to put in legislation that prevents the courts from overturning their own decision, their own precedent. So, I mean, isn't that the ultimate irony and typical political disingenuousness?
It sure is, and they also know that this is where they are the weakest. You know, all these liberal policies, these godless policies, have been introduced through courts because the American people, again, are not there. The American people have much more of a conscience and much more of a faith than these policies embody. So they're on strong ground when they can find their liberal judges. They're on very weak ground when they try to go to the representatives of the people. And this, of course, reminds us and our listeners that elections matter. We have to be out there voting as informed Christians.
All right. We have a little break. I assume you can stay a little bit longer with me?
Yes. Yes.
Very good. All right. We'll come right back with our guest, Father Frank Pavone, Catholic Priests for Life. And we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
And we're back, folks, with Father Pavone. And by the way, Father, I mentioned the Catholic Priests for Life, but it's actually Priests for Life, your organization. And I didn't mean to imply that this issue is something that just Catholic people or even religious people are involved in, because as you and I both know, goes without saying that you don't have to be a religious person in that sense or a Bible believer in order to see that this issue has definite ramifications, and there are indeed a number of people who, for the mere scientific sake of it, are opposed to this all-out assault on life in terms of pro-choice for abortion.
Absolutely. And, you know, we even have groups in the pro-life movement that are atheists and agnostics, and they say, look, you know, we can't see God, but we can see that baby, and we can see the violence abortion does. So, yes, it goes right across the whole spectrum of humanity.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of some of the people like even Bernie Nathanson, who were spearheading this drive for abortion, finally having a little tinge of conscience, quite a bit, actually, and saying that we were faking the numbers and we were, you know, fudging up the whole issue in order that we might get the American people and the media, of course, didn't take very much for that, but to to support this idea of a woman's right to an abortion, because we wouldn't want unsafe abortions taking place. And that whole business, as he admitted in his several books, that this was basically us lying. I know the organizations, the Planned Parenthood groups, so forth, were actually doing this because they wanted business, quite frankly. And it's all about money. Let's face it. Everything in this world comes down to the evil of the love of money, as Jesus so perfectly stated. Follow the money trail, follow the business trail. And abortion, unfortunately, is, in my opinion, a typical cottage industry. It has become that, yes, over the years, wouldn't you say?
It is an industry, and you know, a lot of times people don't think of it from the point of view of an industry, but you know, we think of it sometimes just from a philosophical, moral, or legal viewpoint. But it's easiest to understand what's going on with abortion when you consider that it is an industry. An industry wants to keep itself in business. And you know, a lot of the good news is that the industry really is in a state of collapse. I mean, when I started working with Priests for Life 26 years ago, there were about 2,100 abortion facilities around the country, freestanding abortion clinics in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there are about 600. So, I mean, that's 600 too many, but the downswing has been incredible. And the numbers themselves and the abortion rate and the abortion ratio, all the ways you can look at abortion statistically, praise God, have all been going down. And as just from the point of view of an industry, they're in some serious trouble.
Now, what do you attribute that factor to mostly?
There are two main things. One is that people are learning from experience that abortion is not a solution. So you see, the more we have abortions, the more people are suffering from it, as we mentioned before. And then, you know, like you think about our young people growing up, I mean, most abortions occur with people in their 20s, but they're looking around now and they're seeing the faces of their parents, aunts, older sisters, friends who've had abortions, and they're realizing, wow, this didn't help them. This really hurt them. So we have a downtrend because just experience is a very good teacher, and it's teaching us that this is the wrong way to go. Another big factor is that those who have had the abortions, they themselves are speaking out about it. And this is one of our projects is called Silent No More, and we have the voices of these moms speaking out about their abortion. And then the abortionists themselves, the abortion industry has a very hard time with turnover. They can't hold on to staff because it's just unnatural to kill a child. And so they find a very, very difficult time finding doctors to do the procedure, which is why in some places, like we saw with this New York law that just got passed, they're trying to get non-physicians to be able to do the procedure.
Oh, well, that should be more safety-oriented then, shouldn't it, then? train non-doctors,
yeah.
Doctors.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, again, this is a big debate, a cultural debate, a spiritual debate more than anything, and the fact of the matter is that it is a culture war. I think as Matt Buchanan described it years ago, we're in a culture clash, a culture war. And this is anti-culture, anti-civilization, anti-Christianity against the whole of the nation. This is the undermining of a society when you attack the very basic unit of life and the family structure that God and only God put together. And he expects much of us to whom he has given much. Now, when he sees and looks down upon this nation, and looks down upon what we have done to him and his name, and then to his creation, you know, you can see that God is not very happy with us. And yet, as you pointed out, the upside of it all is that many, as a result, are coming to God and coming to an understanding that that child that they are going to have is a child. It's not an ant, and it's not an amoeba, and it's not some sort of alien creature. Despite many of the horror movies around, we know that that is a living, breathing creation of God. And young people now today, in many cases, are being dissuaded and from doing just that, from having an abortion, aren't they?
You know, we're living in an age where the first picture in a young person's photo album is of them in the womb, and you know, the technology has opened up for us the view of the babies in the womb. And you know, as powerful as ultrasound is, I want to tell our listeners that there is an app out there called the See Baby Pregnancy Guide, See Baby, and it has images and videos of the child throughout the first trimester of pregnancy in full living color, because it's a rarely used method whereby a video camera is placed right up against the amniotic sac. And this was a project I've been involved in for a couple of decades now, and National Geographic even endorsed a video that was made as a result of this footage of a process called embryoscopy. And, you know, science has brought us to the point where this child is more and more real, and we have surgeries being done on the children in the womb in all over the country, in Philadelphia and Houston. They're doing heart surgery on these babies in the womb. And so it's odd that at the very time when science has allowed us to both see the baby and treat the baby more than ever in human history, in this very same period of time, these last several decades, we've ended up removing protection from the baby. It's time for the law to catch up with the science, and it's time for the culture to help transform the law.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, in the congressional level, as far as this legislation that's been introduced, there's also a number of other pieces of legislation. Some of them are following the extreme liberal left philosophy of actually codifying this abortion right, as they call it, into federal law. And others are attempting to do just the opposite. From a standpoint of the public at large, what do you see happening at the federal level? Do you think either way is going to prevail, or will this become a state-by-state battle now?
Well, you know, on the federal level, there is growing support for measures that protect babies, at least in the latter stages of pregnancy. Now, this midterm election created a split situation. We were getting very close to having Congress say babies after 20 weeks in the womb have to be protected. But now that the House is in Democrat control, the Democrat Party is very pro-abortion, and they don't want anything to do with any kind of pro-life legislation. A lot of it is going to depend on the results of the 2020 elections. But, of course, since the Senate is still in Republican hands, we're going to continue to have judges being appointed throughout the federal court system who are going to be more likely to rule in favor of the protection of these babies, and also more likely to rule in terms of religious freedom and the faith that we all hold so dear. So it's a lot of good trends in that respect. And when people think about Roe v. Wade being eventually reversed, two things can happen. One is, and it's the most common opinion, is that they'll say to the states, you know, you can decide. And that's a step forward in the sense that it's, you know, Roe v. Wade didn't only take away the right from the baby to be protected, it took away the right from the states to protect them. And so to say that the states can now begin protecting the unborn again would be a step forward. But it would still leave us in a very odd situation of saying, well, in one state, a baby is not a person and can be killed, and you go across state lines, and all of a sudden it's a child that has to be protected. It doesn't make sense. What we need is for the court to say the baby must be protected.
Well, and that is basically the whole purpose of this Constitution, supposedly.
Right.
This government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And out of all of that comes the basis for human liberty. You know, this business of civil rights is anathema to those who believe in individual rights under God, and that's exactly what the Declaration of Independence was meant to convey. And, you know, the Constitution basically is supposed to be the basic framework for all of the nation for restraining government from doing those things it should not do. And one of those things, it should not define life as something that is precarious, you know, something that can be just taken at the decision of a mother. I mean, if a mother wants to, obviously, and these we're talking about cases, most of the cases are all virtually volition cases, you know, where the mother voluntarily becomes pregnant and then at some point decides, well, I don't want the child anymore. That's what they're about, not rape or incest and so on and so forth. And so in those cases, then, should it be a matter of a woman saying, I do with my body what I want? I mean, yeah, she should with her body to a certain extent, but not with another body. You have two bodies there, not just one. And this is the thing I've never understood. I've never understood how you could call it your body when that body is dependent upon your body, but it's a separate entity. I mean, that is just from a scientific point of view, it's balderdash. It's just nonsense.
It sure is. It sure is. And you know, why in this day and age we have so many people being blind to the science and just changing it into, oh, this is just your belief, this is just your opinion. You know, I point out to people, if you're going to say that whether the baby in the womb is a baby depends on your opinion, well, then what's to keep you from saying that after the baby is born? And you know, the ethicist Peter Singer, who's very, very anti-life in his philosophy, he did get this much right when he said, look, the choice here is either oppose abortion or endorse infanticide. He said, because there can't be such a moral significance to the event of birth to change the status of that being. You know, if you're going to say choice prevails over life, if you're going to say it really is a matter of your opinion, well, then that doesn't stop at birth. You can decide whether the newborn is a person or not, or whether the newborn is going to live or not, or be protected or not. And that is, and actually, this is what we're seeing now, of course. You know, this goes back to the law we were talking about before. These babies are being killed even after birth. So we've got to get a hold of ourselves here and say, look, it's not even rooted in a belief. It's rooted in the biology. The science is clear, and that's the only thing that should determine for us who's human and who's not.
Right, exactly. How do you view the Catholic role in all of this, since you're a Catholic priest and you have been in the ministry for some time now? Do you feel with all of the issues affecting the church today and attempts to denuterize it or just take it a step down with all of these, these cases of pedophilia and so forth, do you feel that this is also part of the attack on the church? And will the church itself, that is the movement of pro-life within the Catholic Church, continue to grow despite these issues and these attacks on her?
Yeah, the attacks are there for sure, and of course the failings of many in the ministry are very, very sad and tragic and have to be addressed. The failure goes beyond, you know, the things that make the headlines about the abuse scandal. It's really in the issue that we're talking about here. The failure to protect children includes the failure to protect children in the womb. So the church always has to be in a stance of repentance. And I find in my own work that the people who are actively engaged in their local parish, they're going to Mass on Sundays and so forth, they're keeping steady because they know, you know, it's not about this priest or that priest. It's not even about the bishop or the pope. It's about Jesus Christ. And because of their love and faith in Christ and the way that they believe they meet Jesus in the worship and the sacraments that the Catholic Church provides, they're sticking with it because they're sticking with Jesus. And as long as we keep that focus, then we also know that it is Jesus who's saying to us, protect my children, defend life, see me in that child. Just whatsoever you do to the least of these, you do to me, right? So if we fail to give Jesus a food or drink, then if we fail to protect the baby in the womb, we're, in a sense, we're failing to protect Jesus himself.
Well, that's true. That is an assault on him. And, you know, he says, you know, you will be held accountable for these things, too, on that day. Yes. So we want to make sure that we do the right thing, whether Christian or not, and whether we are actually religious or not, we have an obligation to do what's right. And we don't have to have a particular denomination tell us that. We know what's right and what's wrong, or we should know what's right and what's wrong. And, yes, there are absolutes in this world. You know, people are asking me in emails, how do they get in touch with your organization? They never heard of Priests for Life before. How can they do that?
Well, I really appreciate that. We welcome everybody. Let me give you a website that's very easy to remember. And it's our main website. It's endabortion.us. Endabortion.us. And of course, priestsforlife.org is also goes to the same place. But I like to use End Abortion, again, to focus on what we were talking about from the beginning, that our ministry is for everybody. You don't need to be a Catholic or a priest, or you want to help us end abortion, and we're going to do it together. So endabortion.us, people can sign up for our emails. They can see the wide variety of things that we do, and we welcome everyone to get involved in whatever way they can.
Well, that's very good, and I appreciate you coming here. You certainly have some support. If you want to stick around for a few moments, I do have a call or two that would like to speak with you. So we have up until the top of the hour. All right. I think we have a break coming up in just a moment. Is that right, Mike? Do we have a break coming up?
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
All right, we're back now, folks. You know the number, 1-800-313-9443. Our guest is Father Frank Pavone, and he represents Priests for Life. I want to take a couple of calls here right now, and I guess we have Art from Off the Grid. Is that right? Hello, come on up.
Hey, Rick. Been a long time since we talked, man. A couple years at least.
Yes.
I want to, first of all, I want to thank you for every, you know, this your activism in this I don't know, should I call you pastor, father, whatever, I don't know, but I want to thank you for this, because I have been screaming at the top of my lungs, where is the clergy? Where is the clergy? And it's nice to hear that they're stepping up. And what I want to try to do and get your opinion on this is I want to try to share with people two ways to defeat the argument on abortion and why it is so wrong. And I want to use a couple definitions as far as science, and then I want to refer to biblical. The first one is comes directly from Britannica, and it says life matter is as such matter that shows certain attributes that include responsiveness, growth, metabolism, energy transportation, and reproduction. The second definition comes from Bouvier's Law Dictionary, which is absolutely fantastic, and it says life is a state in which energy of function is ever resisting decay and dissolution. It commences for many legal purposes at the period of quickening, when the first motion of the fetus in utero is perceived by the mother, but physiologically pronounces life as existence from the period of conception, because fetuses in utero do die prior to quickening, and then all the science of death are found to be perfect. Now, that is the legal and scientific. I gave you one scientific definition and one legal definition of life. Now, I want to go to Genesis 9, 5, and 6. I tell people I am not a Christian. If you had to define what I am, I guess you could say I'm more of a Nazarene, because I take my lessons and my law to understanding and my direction from the Torah itself, because this is God's divine law. Is I think it's 613 law, statutes, and commandments in the Torah, with 29 very specific punishments. And you have to go back to the original Hebrew and Aramaic and translate straight into English if you want the definition.
Yes.
If you want a good translation. So here's what Genesis 9:5 says about murder. Now that we have the scientific and the medical, and surely the blood of your lives will I require from the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man. This is talking about spilling the blood of animals without just cause. From the hand of every man, brother, I will require the life of the man. Now, here we get into the issue of murder, which takes us to Genesis 9.
Well, you know what? We are at the midway break, so I'm going to hold my guest, the good father, and you as well, Art, over to after the break. Stay where you are. We'll get into the Genesis definition of murder, and we'll take more calls just ahead, okay? We'll be right back, folks. Rick Adams on Center.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.